This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
Hello, listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the Student Hour. So great to be with you. My name is Jacob Patterson. I'm the KBPS radio broadcasting instructor here at Benson High School. And we are back with brand new content, a brand new fresh episode. It is so great to be back with you. Several students have been working on stories recapping their experiences through the teacher strike and shutdown. We'll check in with our chiefs of promotion, chief of music, and chief of production to see what they've been up to over the last month. And then a student from Cleveland High School going above and beyond to help other disabled students at Cleveland. We'll tell you more about this new student union and how it's helping disabled students. We'd also like to let you know that AM 1450 and KBPS.AM is now 100% commercial-free holiday music through the holiday season. If you haven't checked out the holiday music on KBPS, we invite you to do so. It is not the same old songs you'll hear everywhere else on the radio dial. Now, sure, you'll hear the timeless classics, but you're going to hear a lot more than that. It's a pleasant and easy-to-listen-to mix, and something you can have on all day in the background and not get tired of it. If you or someone you know runs a business that plays holiday music in their business, let them know about the 100% commercial-free holiday music now on AM 1450 and KBPS.AM. Thanks so much for listening to the Student Hour and for supporting the voice of the Portland Public Schools, AM 1450 KBPS.
Hello, listeners. This is Chill Host Husk, Chief of Promotions with
Zip, Chief of Music,
and Joe, Chief of Production.
And today we will be discussing what we all did while the strike one happened. So let's start with you, Joe. What'd you do?
I didn't really do anything.
Come on, there had to be at least something that happened.
No. I'm with Joe. I did absolutely nothing. I was bored.
Dang. I worked.
I went outside and I went downtown once.
I worked like every day.
I don't have a job.
You guys could have gotten job seeking, right?
No, I have a job.
I had a job a year ago at Target and it sucked. I'm never working there again.
I don't blame you. That sounds like a terrible.
Oh yeah,
job.
I heard nothing but we're not on the whole hate on Target thing right now.
Yeah.
But we're on what we did at the strike, and I worked. But for like the last week I had gone sick.
I also got sick actually.
Yeah. Listeners, if you remember, before I think we actually had to leave, the old crew, I think it was Josiah, me, and Colby were talking about movies, and Thanksgiving was one of them. It had nothing but like negative reviews about it. I actually went to go see the movie about 2 days after release, and it was phenomenal. I loved it.
You're talking about the horror movie, right?
Yeah, Thanksgiving, yeah. The horror movie. Oh, it was so good.
I'm not into horror movies, so I didn't go.
Neither am I, but... It didn't feel like horror, more was like a slasher film. It wasn't like there was no.
That is.
It was intense.
That
it was
is
like
horror. Movie.
Yeah.
I did go and see the prequel to the Hunger Games series, though.
I heard that was pretty good too.
Yeah, the one where the main character was President Snow as a teenager, and it was actually really good.
Yeah.
It was a little all over the place, and their edits were very fast. I could tell that it was a long movie that was too long for what they wanted, so they had to do quick cuts.
I don't understand why they couldn't have just done like part one, part two, like they did with the other Hunger Games.
Was it like jumping over the fence cuts, or was it like?
No, it was like barely noticeable. I only noticed it because, you know, we're radio students. We focus on, you know, visual audio editing.
Oh yeah,
and. Most people didn't notice it. I leaned over to my mom and I mentioned it, and she was like, I don't see that, but now that you mention it, I can barely see it. But it was still really good. It explained a lot of the lore and history in the world, in Panem, I believe the world's called.
Yeah, I've actually never seen Hunger Games or anything of the sort. It's fine. But I heard it's good. The same thing with Twilight movies. I've never seen a Twilight movie, but I've been told it was good.
I watched The Hunger Games a while ago. I thought it was, like, okay. I haven't actually seen Twilight, but from what I can tell, at least now, might not have been when it released. It's, like, a kind of a so bad it's good kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen all the movies and books I've read all the books and I've seen all the movies for The Hunger Games, but I do not recommend the last two of the four movies, and I don't recommend the last book. The first two books and movies, those were great. I loved them.
Mm.
The rest of it was just political, war, traumatized characters. It was really not that good considering the series.
Current state of PPS.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to the strike. That's
yeah,
right.
Let's go to the strike. That's where we started. Yeah, last week I had gone sick. Didn't make it better that after Thanksgiving I had to attend that holiday bazaar and set that all up. That was not good because I had like a sinus infection mostly, so
yeah.
And then the day after that I was driving around for 6.5 hours delivering wreaths. That was something too.
Yeah. The strike lasted a total of 28 days including weekends, correct?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I was sick for the first 2 days back from school, so I was gone for exactly 30 days. I was out of school for exactly a month.
Yeah, I barely got there because I didn't come to school on Monday because I still wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a good idea. My mom didn't think it was a good idea, so I stayed home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How does it feel to be back, guys?
It's okay. It's okay.
Yep, tough subject, I guess.
Yeah, I love being back. I love being back on air, but
that I can't agree with. Yeah,
I go back to work. I want to make money. I had that taste of like wanting to have something that I'm like, I can't get rid of it now. I want to.
Yeah, I work from home. I work for my parents. They own a company called Royalize. Shout out to them. And I'm one of their editors, and I've also been reorganizing my mom's website.
Yeah. Actually, have you talked about that, any of that for a student hour yet?
I've mentioned it a couple of times. I do want to start advertising them more, but I need to legally cut a deal between KBPS and Royalize to make it actually official.
Oh.
But that's pretty tough to do. So I've just kind of said, yeah, I'll just leave it alone.
Yeah. The strike did leave a lot of holes in the education. There's still talk about even if we will take off that week to actually be here at school or not.
I have a vacation planned. I'm going to Puerto Rico for Christmas and New Year's. And the new schedule is cutting, I believe, 5 days into my vacation. So I'm really hoping that they do change it.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything planned. And if I do, don't tell anyone. Hey, listeners, don't contact my school. But I will ask my mom to call in and say it's a mandatory, like a excused absence, so I can go back to work for that week.
The teachers are going to understand. Yeah. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, honestly, a whole bunch of the teachers have just been like, you could just not show up. And the bunch of them are just like, we don't have anything planned this week. I don't know. They actually said, like, because this is stupid. Because I don't want to, especially right around now, I don't want to put words in the mouth of the teachers. So,
yeah.
I personally don't have anything planned.
It's not cutting
into anything, but I would still like to, like, have 2 weeks instead of just have 1 week.
Yeah.
I might show up for the B-days last period so I can go to strength and conditioning. I miss being back there.
Yeah.
Strength and conditioning's so nice, dude.
It is. I love it. Yeah.
We all have strength.
Oh, yeah.
I have the same period as him, and we work out together. I just didn't exercise for the month I was gone, and my parents were a little angry.
Like, you know the lifeguard buoys, right? I started bench pressing that stuff. Like, oh, they're on the stand. I was bored.
Yeah,
I started doing squats
that.
In the water.
Okay, hold on. Squats in the water. Isn't that kind of just ruined the point?
Who cares, really? I mean,
I don't know the exact percentage, but your body gets a lot lighter when it's in water. That's why it's easy to swim.
But yesterday, let me tell you about yesterday.
Uh-oh.
It's not really part of the strike, but I think this is a story I should bring up since we've just got on the subject with strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
After class, not even 10 minutes after class, I was there in that cardio room down there for swim. Never again. Never again am I doing cardio right after working out. My body's still hurting right now. I was drenched in sweat. Malcolm was drenched in sweat. Aiden was drenched in sweat. Oh, my God.
Ew.
Yeah, it was not nice. I had to go home and shower. Oh, no, going outside in the winter when you just had...
Hold on. In the winter? You're going outside in the winter?
Yeah, in the winter.
No. Hold on. Go back. Can we get a replay?
Oh, no. Going outside in the winter. Yeah. Going outside after being, like, all sweaty is, like, the most terrible feeling. It's a cold sweat. It's just, like, it's, like, ice on your face.
I get that.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what else do you guys have? Like, how does it feel to be back here? Like, is there anything big planned that the teachers have talked about?
So far, it's been kind of chill since I said that I was sick for the first 2 days when I emailed all my teachers asking for, you know, missing work. All of them are like, yeah, no, there's nothing graded. We're just talking. We're just hanging out. You know, not too much is going on. And I'm very appreciative for that because I know that a lot of students will definitely need that kind of, you know, back into it. Because literally, we had a third of a summer off of school. That's a lot of time. That can reset students' academic abilities, I guess.
Yeah, my sister has, like, tournaments planned in the summer. So if they try to put any, like, days in the summer, she's not be able to go because she's in a different state.
Yeah.
But luckily, one teacher, I won't say who, talked for about, like, an hour as soon as we got back. So we didn't have – over, like, hour and a half, and we didn't have to do any work. I was so happy. She did it again today. I was like, yes. But yeah.
Did I do anything else over the strike break? I got a new game. I got Hogwarts Legacy. It was on sale for 40% off. Mm-hmm. I have nothing else to play, okay? Don't look at me like that.
I'm not hating. I mean... Yeah.
You know what? Here, I got a different game as well. I got two games. I got Escape Simulator, and it's an escape room simulator, and it's actually really good. Okay, you can't look at me like that for this one. There's nothing wrong with this one.
I mean, escape room simulator.
What's wrong with escape rooms?
You know.
Are you just embarrassed because you're not smart enough for them?
Because I've never been in an escape room.
I've never actually been in a real escape room, but I love escape room games.
As much as, like, the controversy has with Hogwarts Legacy, it wasn't even, like, that. It was just, like, the replayability and, like, how you can get one spell that kills everyone.
That's true. One thing that I have noticed from playing it for about a week is that they have a lot of collectibles. Not, like, large amounts, like 50 to 100, like, not that kind of collectible. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of mini collectible quests, like a lot of individual ones. It's something that you can get the quest and then do all the collectibles in order and get them, but I can tell that it's meant to be like you get all of them and then as you're going around doing the main quest you can pick these up along the way.
Yeah, I didn't buy this game during the strike, but I started playing during the strike. I bought Pandora's Box. I don't think you guys know about that. All the Borderlands games with all their DLCs, I got it for $60.
Of course it's the Borderlands game.
Bro, listen, listeners, buy Borderlands. It will be like the most fun you'll ever have with a video game.
It's overrated.
What? That's insane. I played it. Borderlands 3, the story is not really good, but the skill trees and the gameplay, that's where it's at. Borderlands 2, don't get me started on Borderlands 2. I love it so much. I'm playing it right now. I'm almost done.
Joe, you got any comments on any of the games we've mentioned? Or any new ones, maybe?
I have personal reasons to dislike Hogwarts Legacy.
I know what those personal reasons are, and I get that. But there is a painting in the game of a certain somebody burning at the stake.
What?
Specifically, they got permission to make the game and got permission to what's the right term? Disregard her actions in the game, I guess.
Oh yeah. Other than that, there's a couple other things that I'm kind of on, and then apparently it's like it's from what I've heard, I haven't personally played it. It's but like
yeah,
you got it. You got it for 40% off, so, and also it's like it's like just playing it doesn't like make you an awful person or anything. Just like being clear that.
What are you looking up?
I actually want to look for that painting you were talking about. Oh, that's not it. Is it this one?
I think so, yeah.
That is pretty fire, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
No pun intended, but that is pretty cool painting. Oh, actually, I just bought an Xbox recently as well.
Oh, what kind of Xbox?
Series S. It's at my house right now. Mm-hmm. Dead Space just got added, so I'm gonna be playing that. And Starfield.
I don't know how I feel about Starfield. I want to get it, but hasn't been on sale. I'm probably gonna get it when it does on sale. It's a Bethesda game. Yeah, I've just heard it's Skyrim but space.
I've heard that a bunch of the planets are just empty in the Steam reviews. They like literally said like there was a rush on the moon when the astronauts went there, but they had a good time, right?
I haven't seen really much about it, but I heard I can be Boba Fett. I can make his spaceship, so might have to play.
Wait, in Starfield?
Yeah, in Starfield, because you have like a lot of customization with ships. So you can. Someone made like a banana ship, or shaped like a banana, or a what was it? The turtle, just a turtle.
Yeah. So you can make references to other futuristic space medias, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Someone made the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Falcon. Falcon punch. Again, my name is Chosesk Freelander. Here with
Zip Pollock
and Joe Fish.
From AM 1450 KPS, wish you all a wonderful day and
happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
I was hoping for a great new year, but we will see you guys in the next one.
This is the Student Hour. Student Voices for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Now aired on Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM and PRP.FM, on KBOO 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM, and on X-Ray, KXRY 107.1 FM, 91.1 FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Hi, I'm CJ, and I'm here with a student that started a disabled students union at Cleveland High School. Thank you for meeting with me. Can you introduce yourself?
Of course. My name is Riz Martin Phelps. I'm a junior at Cleveland High School, and I founded the Disabled and Neurodivergent Students Union at Cleveland.
What does a union do, and what does your union do, specifically?
Well, a union in general is a group of workers, generally underneath one profession, who choose to work together to make sure that they are all being treated equally by their employers. In a school, obviously, we don't get things like pay. So a students' union is a group of people generally under one minority who choose to come together to make sure that all members of their minority are being treated equally within the school. So the Disabled Students' Union is a group of disabled and neurodivergent students who have chosen to come together and make sure that our school is equal access for everyone. And we are especially currently working with the planners of our school, because Cleveland High School is being remodeled soon. We are working with the planners of that to make sure that our school, that wasn't really super equal access before, is equal access.
So in the union, is it only students that have disabilities or neurodivergent students, or is there people in this union that want to help you out and don't have disabilities?
Within the union leadership itself, at the moment, because we are very new, it is only disabled and neurodivergent students. We do have allies, though, that are interested in attending, and our sponsor, the teacher who works with us, she is a special ed teacher, not disabled. So we do have people who work in special ed who do help us out, and do because they work with disabled people every day, disabled students especially, and they care about our well-being. And so allies are allowed in to attend the union and help us out when they can. But leadership and decision-making is made by disabled and neurodivergent people because there's a long history of us being talked over.
Can you tell me about what inspired you to start the Disabled Students Union at Cleveland?
Well, I obviously am disabled. It's been, you know, something that's affected my whole life, especially my academic career. And only recently have I been able to manage to get accommodations within my own school. And I think that's unfair. There are plenty of students that don't have the resources I do who just can't get accommodations. I started the Students' Union because I wanted to help people like that. I wanted to, you know, be someone who can help people get what they need in our school so that everyone has a chance at doing well.
As the leader and the person who started the union, can you tell me about the process of starting the union and what that looked like and the challenges that you faced when you did start the union?
Of course. I originally had the idea for the union about a year ago. It was after the close-off for starting clubs, which are what affinity groups are counted as at Cleveland High School. It was after that window had closed. So I spent that year, last year, talking to a lot of the administration staff, figuring out who wanted to help and who was more iffy about it. And then this year, when the window came back around, I, you know, got myself in there, signed a bunch of paperwork, found someone who was willing to give their time in their classroom to letting us meet, and, you know, signed some paperwork, did some stuff, and then it exists. So it's a very paperwork-heavy process to start something like that.
What are the goals of the union in the future?
We are really just getting started. There's a lot we want to do. The main thing that we are focusing on right now is making sure that the remodel plan is equal access. But after that, as I've mentioned, individual student help. And really, we just want the union to be a center of community. We want people, disabled people don't really get a community that often. So we want to have somewhere for us all to, you know, be on equal ground. Somewhere where we can all feel like we belong, when in school, a lot of times, you don't feel like you belong when you're disabled.
You said about the new Cleveland campus being equal access. What would that look like?
Well, on Cleveland High School, we have one elevator, and it's very bad. Truly, I call it the scary elevator because that's what it is. It's a terrifying, terrifying, terrifying ancient elevator. So we would want maybe more elevators. Crazy thought. I've talked to a lot of other disabled students who don't like the fact that Cleveland is tall. That is an issue, and there is, it's not really somewhere where it's easy to get from point A to point B. Definitely lights that don't hurt your eyes so much, more space given to special education classrooms. We just want, you know, campus that's easy to get around.
If there was a student at Cleveland who wanted to join your union, what would the process of joining the union look like for them?
Well, we are setting up posters around the school at the moment that would advertise when we meet as a union, which is twice every month. If you want to join the union, you'd just show up to one of those meetings. If you want to be on our official mailing list or anything, you just let me know and sign a little thing. It's very easy. We're very welcoming.
So you have a mailing list. Do you have any social medias that people can follow?
Not yet, unfortunately, but we are Cleveland DANSU, Disabled and Neurodivergent Students Union, so keep an eye out for that name. We do want to start some social media soon.
If someone wants to support you, how can they do that?
I mean, if you want to support our cause, just be nice to the disabled people in your life, you know? Keep an eye out for us. We're people too. I know, it's crazy to say.
Once again, that was Riz Martin Phelps, who started the Cleveland Disabled and Neurodivergent Students Union. And my name is CJ, reporting for the Student Hour. Remember to get out there and be nice to disabled people in your life.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbOO.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thanks for listening.
Now, this next story is an awesome one. We got to let you know that we are into the winter basketball sportscasting season at KBPS, and we'll be doing dozens of basketball games live on the air on AM 1450 and KBPS.am at all of the PIL schools over the next couple of months. And we are looking for more Portland Public School high school students to get involved in our sportscasting program. No broadcast experience is necessary. You can find more info at kbps.am and click on sports. Now, taking a look at the 6A girls basketball coaches preseason poll, they have the Benson Astros coming in at number 2 in the state for girls varsity basketball, ranking Benson at all the way up at number 2 with a total of 115 votes. Second only to Clackamas High School that came in the coaches poll at number 1 with 137 votes. And one of the big reasons why Benson is ranked number 2 girls coming into the beginning of the season is because of this player right here. Senior Mahogany Chandler Roberts just signed a scholarship with the University of Central Florida to play in Division I college ball in the Big 12 Conference. Holy moly. Coach Eric Knox writes on his Facebook page that the University of Central Florida and the Big 12 just got a jewel of a talent in Mahogany. She is certainly going to showcase who she is on that stage. Such a great player, but more importantly, a great person. And one of our KBPS seniors, Ebony, who also plays on the Benson basketball team, had an opportunity to sit down with Mahogany in the KBPS studios and ask her about this big jump to the big college level and what it means for her to sign a D1 scholarship to go play in Division I at the University of Central Florida. Let's listen.
Hey guys, this is Ebony from KBPS, and I'm here with
Mahogany Chandler Roberts.
And today we're going to be talking about Mahogany signing with University of Central Florida. I got a couple questions to ask you, girl. So why did you choose to sign with UCF?
I don't know. I chose to sign because I felt like this was going to take me a different route and be better, a better choice for me. And I just felt really welcomed, and I felt like this was just right.
Okay. Are you nervous about going that far away from home?
Yes, because it is, like, literally across the map. So it's, like, it is nerve-wracking. But at the same time, I feel like I'm going to be surrounded by a great community, so I'm going to be okay.
And excited. How is Orlando different from Portland?
You know, weather-wise, is very, you know, Orlando's very humid, has a really big Black culture. And here, you know, it's opposite.
What are you most excited about?
Playing basketball and meeting new people.
Okay. Who's your favorite WNBA team?
My favorite WNBA team? That's hard because I really like a lot. You know, I like the Aces. You know, I like the Sparks. Is that still a team?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I don't have a favorite. I think I watch a lot of WNBA teams.
If you could play for any of them, which one would you choose?
A WNBA team? Probably the Aces.
Okay. So after college basketball, what do you want to do after that?
I want to become an entrepreneur, and I want to get drafted to the WNBA.
Okay, period. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is Ebony from KBPS. And
Mahogany.
And we're signing off. Bye.
TriMet, public transportation that everyone uses. It helps many people get to where they need to be. But there are risks involved. According to TriMet.org, there was a violent crime on TriMet almost every day. As a Benson student, my friends and I take TriMet often. Here are some of our tips on how to stay safe on TriMet.
Be aware of what's around you. If someone doesn't look okay, try to move away discreetly. Go towards the front of the bus or train. You can also use the emergency intercom to talk to the MAX driver. Travel in a group. Being with someone else makes travel much safer. Friends can help keep each other safe. Stay alert and don't get distracted. Dozing off on your phone can cause you to miss your stop, but more dangerously, it can open the door to a disaster. Always be aware of your surroundings. Bad situations don't usually start with a bang. They creep up on you. It's important to see the smoke before the fire. Self-defense. Being able to fend off an attacker is key. Mace is a common defense tool that is both small and easy to conceal.
Thanks for doing your part to stay aware and help keep TriMet safe. Stay safe out there and take your love to the max.
Students need access to clean bathrooms at school, but that's not always happening at Marshall campus. Some bathrooms are locked for long periods of time. Other times, the condition is terrible. Lack of soap, paper towels, and general hygienic care make the bathroom experiences frustrating for students, not to mention the increased graffiti. Lack of proper bathrooms is impacting our ability to do well at school. Not only does this affect the overall well-being of students, but it affects the spread of germs and illnesses. We propose many solutions for this problem, not only just for current students at Marshall campus, but for future students too. We strongly believe that Portland Public Schools should invest in proper hygiene amenities such as better soap dispensers and paper towel dispensers, and access to menstrual care that is properly stocked and monitored. With just these small changes, we can create a better future for the Marshall campus as a whole.
You're listening to the Student Hour, student voices from Portland for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Please support our partners at PRP.FM, KBOO.FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Greetings, viewers. My name is Antro from the AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about holidays. Holidays, we have them once a year. It's pretty obvious to everybody. But there are some holidays to me, and probably you too, that just makes you wonder, why are they even a thing? So today, I'm going to be talking about those holidays that make me question, why are they a holiday to begin with? First things first, I'm going to be talking about Easter. Let's just get the obvious out of the way. Easter is one of those holidays that just makes me wonder, okay, who did this and why is this a holiday? So Easter is basically just to commemorate. Actually, I don't even know what Easter is about. It's basic. From my experience from being in school, Easter is mainly just going on a random hunt to go look for some eggs that supposedly have either candy or some kind of treat inside, like the plastic eggs that you can buy in like either Dollar Tree, Target, or Walmart, or any other retail store for that matter. So this holiday, it was fun to me as a kid, but now that I look back on it, it just didn't really make that much sense to me. But other than getting the first one out of the way, this is the second most worthless holiday out there, and it's Valentine's Day. I should have started with this one first, but it's fine. Valentine's Day, it just, why? It doesn't make sense. Why is this a holiday? Who was the person that made this a holiday to where it is now? There are so many reasons why I can tell you that Valentine's Day is just pointless, but I can narrow it down to four. Taking on number four spot, we got It's Nothing Special. Why do we have to celebrate it on a specific day? Explain to me, why is Valentine's Day even the day that it is, and who made it what it is today? And everybody is so programmed that they believe that it's just the day that we're supposed to show our partners love and affection. Are we supposed to do that every day anyway? Whatever. Taking our number three spot, we got just going broke. I'm buying all these gifts for my significant other, or others if you're in a polyamorous relationship, but I have nothing to eat afterwards. So I spent all this chocolate, this teddy bear on you. What are we going to be eating tonight? What if you don't have any money? What are we going to be eating tonight? Bricks? Sand from the beach we just passed like 3 minutes ago? Or that teddy bear that I just bought you like 5 minutes ago? Taking our number two spot, we got diabetes. It's pretty obvious. Eating all that candy is just going to get us diabetes. It's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it already happened to somebody. You remember how, like, during elementary, maybe middle school, they bring out all the Valentine's candy, like the Fun Dip, Skittles, Hershey's. We're going to get us. I think we already have a sweet tooth because of that. And taking our number one spot for the worst thing about Valentine's Day, we just got being single. It's pretty obvious. No single person on Valentine's Day just likes the holiday at all. Me included. But I don't really care about getting into a relationship, so I'm just criticizing the holiday because I can. And for number two, being it's absolutely pointless. I mean, for every single person out there, they hate going to either Instagram, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, but it's called X now, because Elon Musk says it's cool. It's a cool letter, and I like it, so I'm going to change it to X. So, you know how they'll, like, go on Instagram, Twitter, X. You know how they'll go on X, Instagram, Snapchat, maybe, and they'll see all these random photos and random videos just posting each other, just talking about, I love you, happy Valentine's Day, babe. Okay, we get it, you're in a relationship, but you don't need to shove it down our throats. We get it, you guys are in love. You probably won't even last that long, so... it's only a matter of time before one of you decides to be stupid and cheat on the other. Whatever. Anyways. That's all I have for today. Again, my name is Antro from AM1450 KBPS. Thank you for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO.
Happy Holidays! This is Moda McChesty of the KBPS Portland student staff. Season's greetings and all the best in the coming new year.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Love Like This by Zayn Malik. It was released on July 21st and produced by Bellion and The Monsters and Strangers. Let's take a listen.
Oh, I love it when you show, when you show that you got my back. If they ever try to roll, try to roll and you're near my back. How you hitting with the claws and the stab and the hips and the hair like that? Got me all up in the zone, in the zone like, I don't wanna waste no time, cause you are the crown. I just wanna take your time and everything is on the line, but I would rather be there. If it's gonna mean a life that's here without you, baby, I guess there's love like this. Usually I never wanna jump like this, but I think I wanna dump my chips, cause I cannot go back. I guess there's faith like this. Give you everything and you can skate like this, but I think I gotta take that risk, cause I cannot go back. And I'm loving what you say when you're on my line. If I never make it back from the chase, I'm fine. Doesn't matter if it's left or it's right, your direction is on my mind. Got me all up in the zone, in the zone like, I don't wanna waste no time, cause you are the crown. I just wanna take your time and everything is on the line, but I would rather be there. If it's gonna be, I guess there's love like this. Usually I never wanna jump like this, but I think I wanna dump my chips, cause I cannot go back. I guess there's faith like this. Give you everything and you can skate like this, but I think I gotta take that risk, cause I cannot go back. One kiss, I am wrecked. 2, 4, 6, my jack. All I know is that I cannot go back. One kiss, I am wrecked. 2 and I'm attached. All I know is that I cannot go back. I don't wanna waste no time. You are the crown. Everything's on the line, but I would rather be there. If it's gonna be the life that's lived without you, baby. I'm just a fan like this. Cause you never wanna do like this. But I think I'm not done with chips, cause I cannot go back. I guess there's faith like this. Give you everything and you can stay like this. I cannot go back.
Love Like This by Zayn is a captivating R&B-infused pop ballad that showcases the artist's vocal prowess and emotional depth. The song is a poignant reflection on the power of an intense, all-encompassing love. Zayn's silky smooth vocals soar over a lush production, creating a sense of intimacy and vulnerability that draws listeners in. The lyrics paint a vivid picture of a love that's both overwhelming and exhilarating, as he croons about the transformative impact of a deep connection. With his catchy melodies and heartfelt delivery, Love Like This is a testament to Zayn's ability to create songs that resonate on a personal level, making it a standout track in his discography. The song's production is a fusion of contemporary R&B and pop elements, featuring a sultry groove, several electronic textures, and a well-crafted arrangement that allows Zayn's vocals to take the center stage. The result is a song that feels both modern and timeless, with a sound that's radio-friendly yet emotionally resonant. Love Like This showcases Zayn's growth as an artist and his commitment to delivering music that connects with his audience on a deep emotional level. It's a song that captures the essence of longing and passion, making it a standout track in his repertoire and a must-listen for fans of heartfelt pop and R&B music. This is Zip from KBPS.
Hi, this is Rosa of the KBPS Portland student staff wishing you a happy holiday season and the best to the coming new year.
Hey, I'm Makai. Some of you might remember me or have heard of me from Makai and Dane's Creation Corner, or y'all have turned into me and my radio partner Dane's semi-monthly radio shows. I am here to introduce to you, my lovely listeners, my new radio show. It's going to be basically what I've already been doing, but more specified to talk about things like mythology, magic, as in witchcraft or other things I'm interested in at the moment, and how they all connect to humanity and our mental states. It's going to be called Makai's Mythic Miranderings, and I'm pretty excited for it. I hope that y'all who have liked my previous things show up for it, and if you're a little bit new, hi again, and see you there.
Hello, you're listening to AM 1450 by Travis. So, as I know that my parents got COVID, I haven't, surprisingly, in the new house, but there has been new variants. Yes, have the symptoms changed? No. Has the sickness of feeling very, like, awkward and stiff and you can't move the muscles? Yes. I've heard that it is longer than the old variant. Still very new. What I've experienced with it, it is, it's not by touch, it's by breath. So yes, you can touch each other, but you cannot breathe in the same vicinity, so wear a mask if you're inside. What I recommend is having airflow. If somebody's in a room, have a fan blowing into their own room. Not hot, not like cold air, just making sure it's circling air just through that room. That's how we've handled it. Make sure they're eating something like saltines and drinking something like Gatorade to boost their energy. Make sure they sleep a lot. Another thing that also helped my parents was gaming. Give them a Nintendo Switch. Seriously. If you can't get out of bed and you're very sick and you just want to stay in bed and play games, I recommend getting a Nintendo Switch and Animal Crossing, because Animal Crossing is super fun. This is also just a daily reminder. If you have not taken your shots or your flu shots, those are still very high. Those can still kill people, and they're and you might want to take them as soon as possible. Things I recommend if you ever get a shot is, I know people's arms felt numb afterwards. What you do is put an ice and hot packet right onto the shot you had. Then your arm will feel not numb, and plus it won't affect the shot as well. You won't feel bad when you lift up your arm. Another thing to know about this shot is that you should take it almost monthly. As it says from the government sites I've been looking up, .govs. So testing for COVID. Make sure if you're ever feeling sick, having fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty of breathing, fatigue, muscle or body ache, headache, new loss of taste of or smell, sore throat, congestion, or runny nose, diarrhea and nausea or vomiting. So please, when you do get tested for COVID, please make sure that you're wearing masks inside, making sure you're in separate rooms. Make sure you have saltines and Gatorade, because I've heard Gatorade is one of the cheaper options, and also you can just get the tiny bottles, put them in the refrigerator. Because COVID sucks. Always wear a mask. And, well, if you're outside, you don't have to. But when you're definitely inside and you feel like somebody's aware, please do wear a mask. Those things actually help. K95s work. Then regular surgical mask. If you don't know where to buy them, there's usually Amazon that can help you find them. Don't buy surgical masks. They don't work as effectively. K95s, when you breathe, you put your hand in front of the mask. You can tell a difference when you breathe like hardly, like blow through the mask. You can't feel it with a K95 than you can do with a surgical mask. This is Travis Keller signing out.
Vaccine scare happened in the 1980s and still affects all of us today. There are still protests in the street about how people shouldn't vaccinate their kids, and some parents are so afraid they choose not to take the risk. But how did all this start? Who truly made the argument that vaccines weren't good for children? Well, that's what we're covering today on the KBPS Student Hour. Thanks for listening. First off, let's go all the way back to the beginning. In the 1980s, there's a man named Andrew Wakefield, and he just published a Lancet article on why the MMR vaccine is dangerous for children to have. And according to the paper, the measles part of the MMR vaccine would sit in the bowels of a child and cause them to experience autistic tendencies. Now, if that sounds wrong to you, that's because it is. The truth is that Andrew Wakefield was trying to make money off of vaccines. In every interview, even in the paper, he never says, don't vaccinate your kids. He says to vaccinate them with separate vaccines because it could be too much for the child's immune system. The reason he was talking about getting separate vaccines is because he actually had his own measles vaccine, and after talking to a lawyer, he realized that he wouldn't be able to sell his vaccine with the MMR vaccine going around. So he made a paper saying that MMR gave kids autism. The paper itself is very controversial. One of the people who helped publish it didn't have a medical license and believed that his own bone marrow could cure autism. And 10 out of the 13 doctors that helped in the experiment had their names retracted because they didn't want to even be on the record for it. And many parents who looked and read the paper believed what was being said in it was true. So they started talking about it wherever they could. Some parents even started to believe the reason their child was autistic was because of the vaccine. Overall, it was a disaster. Wakefield even lied on the paper. Some of the kids in it weren't even autistic, and the amount of area Wakefield needed to cover was so large they didn't ship a child from America all the way to the UK to do testing on it. The information in the paper was largely false. The man who wrote it was a lying con man who kept saying that what he was doing was for the children or their parents, when it was really all about the money. It was just so false. If you want to learn more, I strongly encourage you to look into Brian Deer, the man who uncovered most, if not all, of the information we used. And if you want a detailed explanation of the events, watch his documentary that he wrote about the events. It's a little sad because he doesn't get any of the credit today, even though he's the guy who nearly lost his entire livelihood to Andrew Wakefield and him suing. Thanks for listening and have a great day. I have been Josiah on the KBPS Student Hour.
Hi everyone, I am Sean Phillipson, KBPS Sports Director and radio play-by-play voice for AM 1450 KBPS Portland, here on the Children's Hour to talk about some high school basketball that we have had this past week on the program. So let's get into some of the best performances of the week, as well as some new rules that have came into effect this season. So we'll touch on that in a bit. But first, let's go over to the PIL for Benson Techman senior Dylan Duong-Pachung, who had a memorable performance in the loss against Nelson this past Tuesday night. Dylan Duong-Pachung, who is a senior, scored a school record 52 points, smashing the old record, which was set by Orlando Williams of 51 points back in 1990. He went 14 for 25 from the field, 1 for 5 from three-point land, 23 for 27 from the free throw line, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal in the defeat for the Benson Techmen. The next game for the Techmen, they will be traveling to Westview to take on the Wildcats. Tip off for that game on the road at 7 p.m. They won't have their first home game until January 4th, where they'll be hosting the McDaniel Mountain Lions. So pretty much all of the first 7 games, according to OSAA, will be on the road. And they will have their first league game on the road at Cleveland on Tuesday, January 2nd, to begin the new year. Also, coming over from Lincoln High School, Tanner Overby, who is a 6'1" senior, erupted for 41 points as the Cardinals defeated Grants Pass 65-58 last week, and a team high 22 points in the 67-58 win over South Medford on Saturday over the weekend. Evan Heisler, who is a 6'10" senior, was held down to 6 points, but Overby took advantage of that, scoring 13-17 from the field, hitting only 1 3-point attempt and making 14-15 foul shots. So great work from Lincoln, getting road wins over Grants Pass and South Medford. Not easy to do against those top quality teams in non-league action. In girls action, we had it on the broadcast in our doubleheader this past Tuesday night with the Franklin Lightning defeating the Bend Lava Bears in the final score of 50-48 in that contest. And in that game, Maya Sanders, the senior guard, scored a 34-point performance in the victory for the Lightning. Lightning were up as many as 6 in the game. The Bend Lava Bears led as many as 2 throughout the game. But unfortunately, Franklin came through where they needed it most. And this game went into overtime in the performance for the Franklin Lightning. Also, Franklin boys took on the Churchill Lancers coming out of Eugene, Oregon, and Franklin won 71-69 in that contest. Franklin led by as many as 15 multiple times in the game, the most recent one where they led 37-22 in that contest. In the game, Kwaje Layla led the way with 26 points, Z Fletchner with 20 for the Lightning, a combined 46 points out of the 71 in regulation. For the Lancers side of the ball, Max Montgomery, the senior, scored 33 points in the loss, and Charlie Dexter contributed with 10 points for Churchill. The final score from the Franklin-Churchill game, Franklin 71, Churchill 69. In girls action, the Jefferson Democrats defeating the Tualatin Timberwolves in a road win 52-44. Jefferson currently ranked 7th this past week, and the Jefferson Democrats defeated number 6 ranked Tualatin Timberwolves in its opener of the year. Chauncey Anderson at that, the junior, led the way with 24 points for the demos. And Layla Nunez contributed with 11 points. Charisma Johnson both added 8 and 7 points for Aubriana Lawrence, respectively, for the demos. And also for the game, the Democrats forced 24 turnovers over the Three Rivers League champion, Tualatin Timberwolves. And very impressive to see the Jefferson Democrat girls perform very well against top-tier competition in the state of Oregon, especially in non-league action against Tualatin. Now, as promised, I will go over two necessary rule changes that came into effect this season in the 2023-2024 campaign at the varsity level. Now, many of you know that Oregon has adopted a shot clock, and the shot clock is set to 35 seconds for possession. So no longer will teams be able to stall with the ball any longer, as now a 35-second shot clock is effective in the 2023-2024 campaign. The second change that came into effect that I didn't know about prior to this week is the fouls, the free throw procedures, and the foul administration rule. Previously, Oregon high school games in fouls personally would go to 17 fouls for a bonus and then 10 team fouls for the double bonus. This year going forward, they're adapting what the NBA does with 5 team fouls in a quarter, and the team fouls will reset at the end of every quarter to have a different base of strategy going into the game. So again, no longer will there be a 10-team foul limit for a double bonus or a 17 foul for just a 1-and-1 effect. Going forward, high school teams will shoot 2 free throws for common fouls when in the bonus or penalty in the NBA would state, eliminating the 1-and-1 scenario and setting new foul limits for each quarter for awarding the bonus free throw. So, nothing has changed when it comes to individual fouls, such as 5 personal fouls in high school basketball. That has not changed. The only thing that has changed is adapting the shot clock as well as the free throw procedures and the foul administration rule. If you want to look at that, go to osaa.org and then click one of the links that has basketball memo, and you'll be able to look at the rules yourself as to what the new rules are in basketball. This concludes this segment on the Children's Hour. I am Sean Phillipson, KBPS Sports Director and Radio Play-by-Play Broadcaster. I look forward to talking with you soon. Thanks for listening.
This is Sydney of the KBPS Portland student staff. From everyone here at Benson High School, happy holidays and the best in the coming new year.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at x-ray.fm. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm, and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at xray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.